And
Long Talk Radio.
Great. And hello, this is the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. Our guest today is Manny Jalonsky. We're going to open it up with just a little bit of music because it is what it is. We're coming into dog days. What I wanted it to be, but it was still a nice little bit of porn to come in.
Classic song there, summertime, beautiful song.
Absolutely. Our guest today is the editor and publisher of the BK Brew, which is .com, BQBrew.com. Why do I always say BK? I can't figure that one out. It's, totally
it's a consonant wrong. Thing.
But it's the BK.
I think it's also the BK folks associate with Brooklyn. You try to be Brooklyn Queens, you know.
There
what
you
mean?
Go.
No, it makes sense. It happens.
That's probably it. And Manny has been with us several times before. Thank you, Manny, for being with us today. You are appreciated.
Always a pleasure.
And you're doing a wonderful
job. I really always have
that. With the BQ Brew, I post a lot out of it. You're working local, but you're speaking for the globe, you know?
I appreciate that. I mean, we try to even talk about, you know, some issues we obviously focus clearly from the local, but, for example, the recent fight for 15, that's something everybody can sort of understand. The cost of living has gone up absurdly. And what the middle class, what the working class, and what even the professional class has made since the 70s has steadily dropped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's happening is there's a huge pinch, and the average working folks, wherever they are, basically the 99% at this point, right, are paying the cost. And so it's wonderful to see folks who are generally the most forgotten in labor, like folks in the fast food industry, organizing so strongly in such a dramatic way through the Fast Food Forward movement, which is just terrific thing, folks, to check out. And the other thing we recently had a chance to do is we've often discussed sort of the criminalization of marijuana and sort of the easy bucks you can give to your buddies who help get you in the office by sticking folks in prisons through that. And you can also fight this culture war. Well, what's kind of interesting is we've long talked about let's fight. I wonder if it'll ever come near the mainstream. New York has, in Brooklyn, there's a gentleman running for DA who's not doing so bad. He might actually have a chance at being the Democrat nomination for the Brooklyn District Attorney. And he actually believes in full legalization of weed. Since he can't do that as District Attorney, what he would
What's
do is treat it as like a ticket, you know?
What's his name?
Abe George.
Oh. And
folks,
he's
I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I've checked out some of his stuff. I'm sure we disagree on things. Folks, if they live in Brooklyn, should give it a check out. But there's also a larger trend that now folks are saying, like Mr. George said, you know, the shootings went up in Brooklyn last year, and we spent, you know, millions of hours on pot arrest that led to virtually nothing and just exacerbate relationships between the community and law enforcement. So why are we throwing money out one way that just makes things worse when we could be throwing it another way to make things a little bit less dangerous? You know, and it's just funny, you know, folks remember this fight since the 60s, and sure, we're, again, creeping into the mainstream after long, long sort of working and busting in the trenches.
Yeah, it does happen. That's why people can't get discouraged. They've got to keep on struggling, you know.
Mm-hmm. But and again, it's not necessarily this candidate or that candidate is going to be the most important thing for us. It's always the movement in each other. Right?
Yeah.
We're, you know, the leaders for the left always have to be from the bottom. The leaders for the populists, the leaders for the progressives. Wherever
mm-hmm.
you find yourself on that spectrum, the leaders have to come from the bottom. Otherwise, it's some form of, you know, commercial aristocracy or religious
right.
aristocracy.
Very good point.
Or, you know, patriarchal aristocracy.
Great point. You know, you mentioned a moment ago about organizing on the increase, and that's a good sign. We need that badly. And, you know, I noticed something this past week. I forgot where I saw or heard it, but a lot of this union organizing is occurring among the Hispanic community. And that's a good sign because they're a rising population base in this country. And if the majority of those folks go union, it's going to filter down and help everybody.
Absolutely. The more union folks there are, the more it puts, in quite mathematical terms, not in any nebulous way, the more it puts pressure on other employers
right.
to say,
yes.
Well, if I want that kind of work, I don't want some guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I got to sort of put up a comparable wage or a comparable
sure.
benefit or something, you know.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of that with the decline of the union membership over the past several
yeah.
decades.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
an unfortunate consequence.
If you, you know, we've had this discussion before, in some ways, my very, you know, I'm not an economist, but sort of my simple-minded analysis is that American unions at some point, and there's changes, you know, there's drum in the Detroit in the 70s, all sorts of differences to what I'm about to say, exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, a lot of industries became almost guildish. We're going to protect our thing. We're going to protect
oh, yeah.
our, you know, there was even race barriers. We should be quite honest. They were conservative unions.
Oh,
yeah.
You're
keeping folks out and you're
one
protecting your clients. Absolutely.
Right.
So mm-hmm. there was great efforts. You know, folks should look at Drum. There's a lot of great uprisings, you know, a lot of great protests. You know, even Detroit, great Detroit Flint, I'm sorry, the Flint sit-downs
mm-hmm.
from a few generations back. There's a lot of great examples of sort of where that didn't happen. It was, again, a rebirth
mm-hmm.
from the bottom, a rebirth from the bottom, you know.
Right.
And so folks should examine that. But there, you know, I think you make a superb point that, you know, if we kind of establish at least some of us a good strong economic point where we are demanding and can get because
mm-hmm.
of our political and social force and economic force
mm-hmm.
the wages we deserve on the work we've built and on the
right.
profit we've gotten and surpluses we've gotten for companies for whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once we learn to do that, then we can sort of position ourselves in other ways. In you know, not to stray too far from the subject, but we were going to talk a little bit about NSA and Snowden. Part of the reason this is such a complicated issue for folks is they are quite reasonably overwhelmed by the demand of an increasing of life, of paying
mm-hmm.
the bills, of
oh, yeah.
keeping up with the tabs and the debt. And
mm-hmm.
with, quite reasonably, for survival instincts, many folks do not have the time and the resources and the energy to,
mm-hmm.
to go out, get informed, and get organized.
Very
or
true.
Or once they get organized, you know, there's limitations and so on and so forth. But that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, part of the journey, you know?
Right. I'm glad you made that point. It's very, very true. So many people, they're working so much, they're exhausted. They don't have the time to do anything. On occasion, they may look at Fox News and get all the wrong messages, and that's what we want to keep them from doing. That's why we're so active in the blogosphere and on radio and
mm-hmm.
everything else. To try and get people to be thinking correctly and looking forward instead of backward.
You know, one thing. I'm sorry, go on.
Well, I was gonna suggest that it would be a good idea. I think many people who are involved with unions right now do pay attention to the alternative media and.
Mm-hmm.
going on in blogging and there's a lot of these little radio shows that are dedicated to socialism and union efforts and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of great shows out there, and I think that the word gets out. People get more informed through unions about what's truly going on instead of
mm-hmm.
the MSM BS line constantly.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, perhaps a great moment now would be to look at the Chicago Teachers Union, when they had been so successful, or the French unions, or the South American ones. Mm-hmm. They see themselves as fighting for more than their wages. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, actually, Rahm Emanuel passed a specific law, had his boys pass a law, that you actually can't protest or strike about anything but wages. Why? Because mm-hmm. he's trying to control the optics.
The
union had done for months is stand up for other issues as well. If mm-hmm. you want the community to stand up for you, I don't know how many more times history can teach us this wonderful lesson for the left, you know. But if you want your neighbors to stand up for you, in that moment, when they need your help, you need to go stand up for them. And as
exactly
a result,
right. That's,
you know,
solidarity.
Wearing,
that's what we need.
Yep. And as a result, the city, you know, turned CTU red in many ways. Despite the despite the absolute deluge of within like a week of money that was spent on the media by Rahm Emanuel and his friends in the Let's Buy and Sell the Schools sort of committees, they managed to hold the public support. And why? Because they had done the actual work of getting in the community. And,
right.
you know, so if unions want to be selfish and fight for just their wages, they're going to lose. And, look, the lesson's not going to do anything but remain the same on this one. There's not, like, cheating this simple sort of equation for unions. If they
mm-hmm.
want to win, they got to fight for other things. So if they want to win, they got to stand up and fight racial profiling. If they want to
yeah.
win, they got to stand up and fight a surveillance state. Oh, well, there might be jobs for some engineers.
Yeah.
What's more important to you, man, 50 jobs now or not getting shot at the picket line in 50 years?
Right.
Or not getting, you know, it's a very kind of, we got to start thinking bigger and
yes.
for each other. And
they
that's
can
actually
no longer afford
not,
to leave stones mm-hmm. unturned. They can leave no stone unturned in their battle to gain more acceptance and more membership and everything else. They've got to make it more universal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if
great
you look,
point.
There's traditions. There's Jerry Tucker. There's all sorts of Ron Glaberman, for example, might be an interesting example. Some people might say he's mixed. There's tons of example, you know, Ben Fletcher, IWW, tons of example of the union standing up for other things. And when it came time for the union, folks
mm-hmm.
would stand up for them a little bit too. And that means that the union has to be more than a union. The union should think of itself as a political group. Every union is a political party, and it's not about voting. It's
That's
about
a great
standing
point.
Up for economic democracy. There's an
yes.
economic politics and a political economy, and that's what we're all playing in here.
Yes.
So when your job, consider how it is at a job, and honestly, when
mm-hmm.
your boss says do a thing, is it really a democracy? But this
mm-hmm.
is a political situation here. You are
right.
It's not just the market situation. It's a political situation.
Right.
You know, so we have to start remembering that we're in a political economy as well. And, you know, again, to go back to the NSA Snowden thing, once we think about a political economy and an economy that's political, you see all sorts of reasons for Booz Allen Hamilton not only being behind so much or making so much money off the NSA thing, but, you know, in general, I think they made like over $3 billion in 2012 off the taxpayer to
mm-hmm.
rip him off, to spy on him, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to remember that these things aren't just happening economically, and they're
mm-hmm.
never just happening just politically. In this day and age where you can't say, I don't have a job, because that means you'll starve, right? In this day and age where you can't say, I don't have a job or I don't work, because there is no welfare state like that, and let's be real about it, it
right.
is necessarily that every time you are involved in economics, it's political. Every time you're involved
mm-hmm.
in politics, it is economic. We have to
mm-hmm.
remember this, or we're going to forget a scientific perspective of what we're involved with and
very
our activism.
True. It's a very true statement, Manny. I congratulate you on that and your clarity of thought there, because you nailed it.
Do you see how, like, you know, one of the things we were discussing is sort of the surveillance state. You know, one of the alarming thing on the right, if you want to see reactionaryism, reactionary behavior and non-analysis, if you want to see stuff turn into herd thing, where we supposedly dovetail with the right is against the surveillance state. Their thing is just like, well, I told you, Uncle Sam and Big Brother and the Masons
mm-hmm.
and the Rothschilds and the, you know, what do you call them, the contrails,
mm-hmm.
and Alex Jones is right. It's such counter-scientific understanding. It's
mm-hmm.
more like, well, I've always wanted to believe this, and now I've got a reason. On the left, you see a kind of a different analysis. We have to
mm-hmm.
think scientifically. Who paid for this? Why were we as taxpayers put on the tab for this when we didn't even know about it?
Right.
Why is it that we're chasing Snowden supposedly for treason, but we're not chasing this guy? I believe his name is James Clapper, who lied,
mm-hmm.
to Congress on the record repeatedly, even after he was given the questions beforehand.
Yeah,
there's
he
no
had
way
to be
saying,
in jail.
You know, I mean, you know, and he's the director of national intelligence, I believe, or something. You know, we should be realistic here. You know, and again, it's a political economy. It's a political situation, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, Microsoft is all up on this. You know, I think it's in one of the Guardian articles. You can find it plenty of places.
Yeah.
NSA's outlook in general is collected all. You know, Verizon they got a bunch of information in, but basically they got a back channel from Microsoft, and you can look this up. Well, maybe folks think I'm joking. To Outlook.com, I believe Hotmail, and I believe access to Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something, man? You know, like.
Oh, geez. That's a lot.
Well, it's also $3.7 billion. You know, some people have wondered, you know, well, why isn't the surveillance state a little more efficient than in kicking our ass? Well, remember, folks, this is capitalism. It's a political economy, an economy
mm-hmm.
that's political. These folks are in it for the profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not like a sort of dictatorship because we're into it. It just happens, you know, that surveillance state, we're not a surveillance state before because of dictatorship. A surveillance state is selling really well right now. To think on it on a larger scale, and if I can be dull for a second, economically, you know, one of the things that's happened is we're producing far less to capacity, meaning we have an industrial capacity in this country of all the labor products, stuff that actually comes out of a factory or a service that really improves something, is transformative. We have a capacity for how much of that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
As time has moved forward, we have used less and less and less of that. So what's happening is for money to sort of keep being spent by us, there has to be other non-productive services sort of stuffed into the economy, you know, like marketing. You
yeah,
know,
Wall Street has discovered a lot of those.
Or the iPhone 7.9. So you can buy, you know, the 43rd iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's another superfluous, unnecessary, not really productive piece of economy. $3.7 billion, I believe the number is, to Booz Allen Hamilton. What does that do? Much like marketing, it's not actually that it's making the Nike shoe faster. It's making the Nike shoe sell. Much like marketing, it's not keeping the Nike shoe selling, but it's making sure that what I don't want to, you know, perhaps folks don't get too uppity about protesting the conditions in Bangladesh to make that Nike shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is always a political economy. There's always money in this.
Yep.
And where is the income going to be coming from? Because there was a Chris Hedges article from Truthdig that came out. Riffing on Orwell and who's the other one? The dystopian era. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Please go on.
Hedges was talking about how you know it's all crumbling down right before us right now. The manufacturing in this country is grinding to a complete halt.
Well, they've gone to derivatives to make buco bucks, you know, and that's money based on nothing.
You know, I got to ask you, Manny, because you have a really broad, your view is really wonderful in that you can change up and look through a different lens in just a second glance. And I would ask you, with all of this loss of work and manufacturing jobs in this country and all of the communities that have been shut down by it and all, isn't this actually forcing a paradigm shift to occur? Really, it's not just America either. It's Western Europe and many other places, even in the places you think we've shipped these jobs to. All of these things that are occurring due to the profiteering and everything. I was going to ask you, where is the income going to come from for people to keep purchasing the iPhones, to keep when all of this is being really taken away and shut down at a domino rate right now? Or am I wrong on that?
Well, in some ways, they've worked out a wonderful system. If you can't pay it now, You can pay us a little more, but pay me back in installments.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get into further debt to establish this vast paranoia state, whether it be military, surveillance, or on the absolute insane level of local militarization of police forces, as we're doing that, you know, we're sort of creating, I don't know how to put it, a new kind of a money sphere to play here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring up, you know, like, the banking industry is helped by this, sure. And look at where they're investing. Is Booz Allen Hamilton not invested in something? Well, who's investing in them? Carlyle Group, and they're doing pretty good. You know, there's kind of who's going to pay for this? It's sort of like who's going to pay for this psychologically and socially is the same person that's going to pay for this economically. The
mm-hmm.
rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, quite mathematically, the rest of us will pay for it. Check state by state. In every 50 states, the 1% pays a lower tax rate than the bottom 20%. Who's
mm-hmm.
going to pay for this? The rest of us. This is not a piece of easy propaganda. It is a piece of math we can derive from several angles. You know, this is a piece of history. The rest of us are going to pay for this. And one of the things that does concern me some sort of from the political angle is, as you have like a higher rate of like immiseration, people's lives getting more challenging and there being less opportunities, like our 3-for-1 ratio. For every one job there is, just 3 qualified folks looking for that one job. As folks get more immiserated, yes, you know, there's going to be less money. Trust me, whoever's paying out of the not 1% will continue paying and paying and paying because that's the way it works. You know what I mean? But as for the rest of us who might not be in some shielded middle class or upper middle class or some other sector of the economy that's saved by whatever particularization, there's going to be a rate of immiseration, you know, and this is actually true. You can see this mathematically. Like, your life will probably be getting more
Hello?
Challenging economically. Oh, sorry.
Hello? Oh, you're back. Okay, good. Something weird happened. I just got cut off.
Go on, Manny. You were
Go ahead, Go ahead, Manny.
Oh, but as we're all getting, and you can check out the numbers, please. Look for Barron and Sweezy, for example. But as the rate of misery goes up, there's also kind of a cultural thing that happens. Folks start wanting some quick frickin' solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And they can either turn to the most atavistic and violent and crazy on any sort of the political spectrum, or religious or social spectrum, you know. And what I worry about is that as we're not able to exercise economic democracies in this country, like protest economic conditions or regulations or affect our politicians because they're so bribed, as that starts withering and withering and withering, I'm concerned long term for sort of if we think our political conversation is bad now, how bad will our political action be in 25, 30 years when folks, you know, like consider how middle America went from being semi-neoliberal to being very hyper-conservative to neoconservative in a matter of 30 years, you know?
Yep.
This can happen as jobs disappear, economies wither, and folks don't remember how to struggle. They just think it sort of comes from America being number one. You know, these are sort of religious, fetishistic things to believe. They're very silly, you know?
Yeah.
But I worry about sort of the long-term cultural impact of this.
Yeah.
You know, democracy has to sort of be applied constantly, constantly, constantly. And, you know, there's always good movement. There's all the folks that are agitated by this, and that's terrific, you know. So there's always a direction. But what I worry about is that the economic situation gets worse for a lot of folks that aren't being displayed in the broad media that we all share. As the culture rifts away from the actual misery of life, and marketing takes up so much of it, and the shows, and the reality shows that are supremely unrealistic, you know, as this stuff starts bombarding what we think of ourselves, but our reality is completely ripped from that, folks are going to have a very angry political, social, and economic resentment. And what the left, in my opinion, needs to work on now, from everything from the surveillance state to the state of our food, is organizing a little further than agitation, a little bit more than opportunistic protesting, and a little bit of messiah action, which is cool because we all show each other that this many people care, but it's got to get past that, and it's got to get past that now, Mm-hmm. Right, you know, folks are doing it. Folks are doing it already. We just the simplest version is we sort of need more missionaries for the left soon.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about cooperation too. I mean, aren't you? I mean,
I hate to sound un-American, but yeah.
No,
you're not. You're being very patriotic. I'm sure the Tea Party wouldn't agree, but to hell with them.
Well,
they should check their constitution for the word union. I'm guessing it might be in there, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know? No, what you are saying, Manny, from my interpretation of much of what you're saying is that we have to really band together community-wise. Whether the community stretches across the airwaves and social networks, how we've met one another in many ways, or and include it to, like you do and like I try to do too, and I'm sure Jack does and many of the people we know, the community that surrounds you where you live, bring them in too. And it's through that connection, that community, that I really think that's where we need to be going, just as you're suggesting.
Well, there are strength in numbers. That's proven fact. Nobody will dispute that. And it's very important for us to recognize that on the left, especially, we can't be Republicans right now on the right. They're fighting among themselves unbelievably. And all that's going to do is deservedly cost them power and votes. And, you know, the left cannot afford that type of fight anymore. In the past, we've split hairs with each other. We've gotten into violent quarrels with each other. And what has it accomplished? A victory for the right. We cannot afford that any longer. We have to be more inclusive. We have to be more understanding. And we have to be that much better than the far right is being right now. And when we do that, we will be successful.
Yeah, but, Jack.
You know, this is fundamentally an issue of practice, and if we want to get past the fighting, we have to decide to support more than dominate. And
quite
specifically in our actions, we need goals, not ideology. We need to find, in 6 months, us and our friends are going to spend $1,000 to give to some undergraduate program to write 5 articles in some paper and pitch them about this issue, veterans, about unemployment, about how people are being split-shifted to make sure they don't organize it for a union. You know, there's a trillion things we can do, but we need goals with each other. And there's a stupid old argument on the left that reeks of the kind of narcissism and individualism that only belongs in the silly, solipsistic justice world of a Clint Eastwood movie. You know, there's the sort of like, oh, when we reach the Tiber, it's an old expression for 100 years. You know, there's a certain point where the Democrats and the Socialists don't agree. Let me tell you something. The problem is that currently the Socialists and the Democrats don't build shit together. The problem is we don't do crap together. We don't have goals enough together.
Right.
And that's why too often the few things we accomplish are reactionary. If we get, for example, in New York, an inspector general thing, it would take years of organization, but unfortunately it took years of having stuff rammed in our face and it being really emotional. Mm-hmm. What we need is organization, not just for goals, because in doing, we will discover what we need to do next, how we can find the goodness in our partners, how we can establish bridges instead of trying to find the top of the hill. I'm not trying to be doctrinaire, and I really, really apologize if it sounds that way. But
you're making perfect sense. Keep going, man.
No,
I have so much admiration for my friends that go through meetings where there's a lot of frustration, where there's a lot of people talking down to you about what you've read or not read or when you marched or didn't march, who will sit through it so that they can save the park. They can make sure that school doesn't get taken over by Pepsi or Microsoft or Walmart, which, by the way, is happening now if we don't stop it. So that's what we need.
Right.
If you disagree with a socialist, I bet you 10-1 you don't disagree with him on saving that goddamn park or saving that school.
So
very good point.
It's about losing the label and basically not labeling left or Democrat and remaining goal-focused. You said, putting the park, making sure the park is not destroyed. by Pepsi or whatever it is at work, if it's, you know, getting these unions, a union meeting to happen.
Right.
But it all, that's why I keep using the word community instead of the political phraseology of left or socialists or Democrat or what have mm-hmm. you. And then there's the other groups right now that are polarizing. There's a huge polarization going on out of the left of people who are, you know, they have their own bugaboos to peck over, like the climate change or what's going on as far as GMOs or people are getting extraordinarily polarized and focused all or nothing in that because, and I don't know if you've seen much of this, Manny, but it's about, you know, okay, well, you know, you just need to wake up and forget about all the rest of that because we're going to be dead in 5 to 10 years,
right.
20
yeah.
years, because of GMO or climate change or whatever. And that defeatist kind of, because most people will look at that and say, well, you know,
right.
put my head between my legs and kiss my ass goodbye, then,
right.
where's the mission in this?
Yeah.
That's not the way forward either. It's about community and reaching across the table with people who at least have the same goals and aspirations.
Yeah, focus on the commonality, not the differences. That's what you got to do. And when you do that, you'll come to a better understanding of the other person and the other party, and you'll get a lot more accomplished because you'll be more unified.
Well, and I think, Manny, isn't this the primary thrust of your conversation right now, your ideal?
Well, I mean, in many ways, yes. I mean, let's take a slight look back, you know. Let's remember who we are on the phone right now and where we are. We're in America.
Mm-hmm.
I'll confess, I've probably seen over 10,000 movies where once you have done some injustice to me, this is the ultimate injustice, and my plan forward to right this injustice is the most correct thing. If you've ever seen a Steven Seagal movie, you know absolutely WTF I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have been indoctrinated. Secondly, hegemony matters, again, because this is what we fill our mind chatter with. We got to fill our mind chatter with other stuff or organize our mind scientifically
mm-hmm.
so we can organize each other scientifically. It's a bigger project. But again,
right.
hegemony matters. Who's dominating the conversation that gets to define the words? So, again, there's a thing called individuality, and it brings us a great amount of strength. Gwen knows a thing. I know a thing. Jack knows a thing. We have great perspectives and varying motivations, but together we can sort of learn a different thing and have a bigger project than either of us that would have by ourselves.
Yes, we can achieve so much more.
But this, hold on, though. This is fundamentally different, individuality, from individualism. Okay?
Right.
Extremely different. And in the corporatization of the hippie movement and the counterculture movement, both in the 60s, the 90s, and again, it happened about 10 years ago. In the commodification of it, it got taken away from all that, you know. There's sort of become a deadening of resistance. It went away from individuality to individualism,
mm-hmm.
like an ethos, a morality. Now,
mm-hmm.
this matters. It sounds silly. Let's just take ourselves outside of our soup and just see what we're marinating in then, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I turn on my show tonight about how right he is, and how everybody just shut up because he knows what's wrong, or if I turn on my show about a million different things with a protagonist, we've learned this. We've all drilled this in our heads more than we've drilled algebra about
mm-hmm.
how when an injustice has happened to you, don't you know that you have the right to do anything, torture the suspect, shoot the guy's kid, torture his dog. You know, all sorts of disturbing shit we've been taught since we were kids is right if the injustice has been done to you. Now, besides
mm-hmm.
this breeding exceptionalism, do you feel me on how this might have marinated into the left as well when we have so many glory hogs and so few calorie spenders, when we have so many people that want to grab the megaphone and so few people that want to grab the picket sign? Do you understand what I'm saying? Does this make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No Indians. Yeah, I hear this. I hear this clearly. Yeah.
This lack of practice, though, is something we can overcome, like, because we've seen the consequences, you know? And so the big thing forward is the the way to get practice and the only way to sort of break in a largely unjust system is to sort of recognize the way all the injustices are interconnected. So with absolutely no moral fluff, but with all moral impact and economic and political and social impact, we have to remember that anybody's struggle for justice is related at some point to ours.
Very
true. If you're looking for a way to become more free, help somebody else become more free. Liberate them. Help them get some control over their lives. And I mean economically, socially, and politically. We can build these for each other. It's town halls. We can build these for each other through unions, cooperatives. We can build this. But it takes us going to the person who's suffering now and not waiting for us to suffer before we wonder what happened to solidarity.
Right. I agree with you. You know what, Manny? You sound like, you actually sound like what I've been on the pathway to for over 20 years in the spiritual community. It's just politically extolled here. And basically, the conclusion is the same. Community. Sticking together.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching across the table and understanding one another and accepting one another for who we are and saying, you know, our greater goal is more important.
Yeah, we've got more in common than we have different.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is important. So, you know, there's a political economy. It's doubly convenient to have this guy think he's three times cooler because he has a Remington shaver and his neighbor only has the single blade.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooler because you have the Lexus LX240 or whatever it is, because I don't care about these goddamn. Anyway,
yeah.
Then the neighbor who's got the secondhand Toyota. Or maybe, you know, there's slight little like cults of commodities that we've developed around our lives. We would sort of get away from a lot of this stuff. That's already something that the system's winning. You know, that's useless crap we don't really need, that we're just buying to sort of keep up with the Joneses in our brains, because no actual Joneses exist.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, and this is really important, after a few generations of individualism and individual getting and greed is sort of the highest moral standard, I don't care what nation you are, but it will begin to seep in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so individual has become something that's wrapped intimately with our consciousness, you know? I think it is, like, paramount to some of the disturbing situations we have on the left, and we have to counter it with, you know, exactly the opposite action in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to the support first, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Well, we're getting bombarded with myths about the American dream every single moment of every single day. Television is a prime suspect because mainstream media is for all its wealth and all its power and this, it's bankrupt of any noble ideas or any good ways to follow. Because man, you're subjected to so much commercialism and so many bogus ideas implied through those commercials. It's a miracle any of us can think straight anymore. That's why I recommend in my current blog that people go to alternative TV sources, because the mainstream media is terrible. You get bombarded with commercials that are worthless and stupid, and they're mind numbing. They're not any good for you. They're like a poisonous product.
This is what I mean by a political economy. Exactly. Now this is what I mean by a political economy. It's not just economy. You're learning individualism.
Right.
You're learning instant gratification. That's not how we build humans. I'm sorry.
No.
Did you mean to interrupt?
No, very true. No, you make a good point there.
I was going to say, though, I do like ice truckers. I do like
You know, we all have our individual preferences and stuff.
I'm not judging you.
In
you know?
General.
I mean, it's not about that. It's
no,
about
right.
the system.
No.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
I
ice truckers, that's
fine. I do like ice truckers. I mean, these are guys that are out there, you know, doing a job that's incredibly interesting, like catching.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show. It just doesn't belong on the History Channel. That's my point. It has nothing to do with history.
Yeah, you know what would be great? Since we laid out all those wires as taxpayers, since we laid out all those, we lent out all those FCC lines, it would be great if we had a labor channel to put that on. You know, to say,
oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. That's
they
awesome.
Owe us. We
that's
them,
awesome.
You know?
The labor channel. Oh, I'm all for it.
What kind of shows would be on a labor channel?
Well, the history of the labor channel, the history of labor struggles, for one thing.
Yeah, but that's a couple of hours, but come on.
Well, let's put our mind to it.
Oh, politics, culture, we get some slam poetry up in there.
We get some art,
you get some interviews, you get some movies. There's all sorts of great labor movies. I think we could have an Idiocracy weekend, you know.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of great stuff out there, you know.
I love that idea.
This is what my grander point here is, again, it's not about us having the labor channel, you dig?
Right.
It's about us building and running and practicing the labor channel.
Right.
That's the power.
That's the power,
because from there, they can shut that place down. Well, screw it, I'll go to the next place.
Yeah, it's a good mindset. It's a good mindset to be in.
You know, and again, it's not the having. We have to do these things and become sort of like the agents, not, you know, because when we can sort of build our own systems, those systems can be attacked, and so can we. But if we systemize, then the people who are not us can continue, and if they destroy the system, the individuals can continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the most important thing is, though, we go out and do. We go and fuck up, get it awkward, have to apologize to our friends. We have to go engage in the scientific, and most of the science is what? Failing, but keeping the notes.
Yeah, well, we do have to engage and do action.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good point.
Exactly.
And that's the path forward.
Why are we so lousy at that? Why are we so lousy at it? Well, half of Europe is off their asses and in the streets, of course, they are not.
Well, we're brainwashed by our culture. It's a culture based on entertainment and luxury and all the artificial things. It isn't based on reality. It's based on fantasy. And that's once we leave that, we'll be a lot more like our European people and stuff like that.
Western, I've lived in Western Europe for months on end, and they're a lot alike American culture, especially when it comes to zeroing in on the TV and the internet and
yes and no, they're not as affected by it as we are though. We are immersed in it, and we can't even get our head above water on it. We're drowning in that stuff.
As Manny pointed out, there's individuality and individualism, and they are better at the individualism. I do agree.
Yes, they are. That's right. Very true.
In some ways, too, they've fought and systemized as well. We have also gotten beat down, but we've forgotten because our labor unions got co-opted, and the people that were fighting got shunned from the movement. The anti-racist, the people who saw the struggle for unions beyond this country, internationalists, which would sometimes be called socialists, because you recognize it's not about buy American, it's about buy labor, because who gives a F's behind if it's made in Louisiana, if it's made in Louisiana by a prisoner for 4 cents a freaking hour? That's still destroying three or four lives, not just the prisoners.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And what's also important is there is an economic point behind this, too. You know, they're durable goods, labor goods, consumer, there's stuff that actually sort of helps life be transformative. And then there's also not non-durable goods and absolute crap, which I like to call economically, crap that's just there to maintain a superfluous point, a superfluous level, an extra and unnecessary level of purchasing and consuming. There's a couple of sick problems in capitalism. This is a terminal problem eventually. And, you know, that's why it has to screw up every 7 to 14 years or whatever the new scale is because it's global. There's a terminal problem. And it's overaccumulation at the top constantly.
Yes.
And that
right.
breaks the consumer cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure we should be surviving on consumerism. But it clearly appears to me that if no one has a job and no one has any money, ain't nobody buying nobody shit.
Right.
Know? But, funny enough, guess who's getting paid? It's not the guy who lost his job. It's not the guy who can't afford his meal.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the banker who lost money on the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Action now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, you've opened our eyes in many ways today, Manny, and given us a lot of fruitful food for thought. And it's all very practical, it's all realizable, and it should be done.
Well,
team effort. I'm sorry, please go on.
I'm wondering just how, you know, And David Williams is want to point out that much of the changes we need to make are not going to happen until something catastrophic occurs that brings us all mm-hmm. together and engages us into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask you, Manny, how do you feel about that? I mean, we have to work towards
well,
what you're saying. I agree. And I think
I'm worried about the immiseration. I always worry about decisions people make when they're really, really, really scared or really
yeah.
worried.
Right.
And, I mean, you can imagine yourself, but if you want to think about something really scary, imagine your community really worried or really scared. Think about the worst that happens when folks bring all of their paranoias together.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it is a large negative thing that's happened, we've had a few happen, so maybe it'll be even worse, or, you know, maybe already all the bad things we needed to have happen have happened, or whether it's a more gradual change. In my mind, and I have a very limited understanding, whatever the scenario, it'll be the preparation that has been done beforehand that will determine the outcome. Again, organization. Let's
right.
say stuff goes to crap and the banking industry goes to shit. Well, you're part of a credit union. Ain't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the housing market goes to absolute crap. Well, you're part of a co-op that's actually pretty fairly and democratically run without a bully sponsor that's trying to gut you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
We have to practice in some ways to be prepared. Whether
right.
it goes absolutely great for capitalism while making 90% of the world miserable, or
mm-hmm.
goes absolutely terrible for capitalism while
mm-hmm.
making 90% of the world miserable. The chief point is it's making 90% of the world miserable,
mm-hmm.
and we need to practice how we would do those alternatives by screwing up and knocking our knees and getting it wrong now by remembering which parts we got right. And it takes
yeah.
little things which accumulate, much like the bad little things accumulate into large bad
mm-hmm.
things. It takes a lot of little things, a mosaic of little struggles, to make one big struggle.
Very good point. Very good.
Yeah, that one was well addressed. That was very
mm-hmm.
well addressed. Manny, with putting together the BQ Brew, can you tell us something right now about how that's gone and how it's affecting the community, the growth you've seen? Can you give us a little rundown on that?
We're actually trying to think about where to find, you know, one of the things we started from the beginning was we wanted to be flexible economically because we kind of hope to have a model where maybe others can duplicate in other cities and in
mm-hmm.
other communities, and we try to work cooperatively in many economic senses, but, you know, it's capitalism, so people try to beat you down or whatever, but we do kind of want to establish a model where you don't need a tremendous amount of money to start a paper that's not there to make you money, but
mm-hmm.
there to provide you and your community a bunch of information.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use the model, and, you know, I haven't been secretive, I hope, in talking about how we do it, where you sort of pool a bunch of local money together and you use it to pay journalists that you really talk to, and you're like, man, we need this help. We'll do the distro. We'll do the work. We'll do the business end. And your goal is to provide a counter. If, you know, I'm never going to be a Pulitzer Prize winner, and I'm never aiming for that. But what I'd love to help folks achieve, or what would be wonderful if we help each other achieve, is stable, sustainable alternatives for our communities to go to. You know, we have to prepare for longer struggles, and it's great to protest. It's great to get mad at the bankers, but it's absolutely gut-wrenchingly brutal to know exactly how much the bankers have stolen from you and the trillions,
yeah.
only $40 trillion they're hiding in
mm-hmm.
assets. So doing the homework and helping our communities stabilize a certain, I don't know, there's other wonderful papers out there, other folks doing great endeavors. So that's our goal. I think for now we are hoping to maybe get a little bit thicker, and as a case we're going quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a big thing for us. We might go a little magazine-y
mm-hmm.
just because of how we want to distribute. Our big thing is to get it out. And
yeah.
we're not looking to make profit or scale.
Right.
We're looking to survive. You know,
right.
I hate to be positive. I was using, you know, business terms on an activist show. But our goal is sort of to create a sustainable channel, you know. And so hopefully the new size and time schedule will allow us to actually create a slightly meatier product, something a little thicker, and something a little more evergreen that we can, you know, if as at a quarterly, we'd have time to really aggressively distribute. So hopefully.
And when are you planning on introducing this new format?
We are going to, in the fall, be coming out with with our first quarterly. Summer
okay.
was our last monthly. And this one, we're going to be looking at something very interesting. Cooperatives have been, we're going to look at a few things, but, you know, co-ops are very interesting. Nobody thinks of them that way, but they're kind of a very direct form of kind of economic democratic action, and you have to get together with your neighbors and all. I'm talking building cooperatives, and there's all sorts of other cooperatives. But here in New York, you can tell a larger story of culture hegemony. You can tell a larger story of banking industries winning and finance, insurance, real estate winning, sort of through the co-ops a little bit as well, as they get bullied into sort of up-renting, I don't know how to say it, up-valuing homes that they don't need to up-value, which will then in turn change the prices of their homes and their maintenance, which will in turn allow the city to make to make the one and two and smaller family family holders pay sort of the tax bill for the 1%, or these huge developers are getting like all but massive tax abatements and 99-year leases on like parks and public space, you know. So there's, you know, I apologize if I'm being corny, but I mean this quite strategically for the left, and I'm not a huge thinker, man, but just the, what I've seen in our activism, if you get really involved in local fight, I bet you soon enough you'll find some place where labor matters and culture matters, and the bankers, they're kind of pushing it, you know, even in the Snowden NSA thing. But in the larger fight, if you get involved in the local, you'll find that what you're finding to keep your school, the Walton family, you know, the guys that abuse folks through Walmart and have destroyed communities through Walmart. Well, those guys, they've lobbied your state and your city to cut money from poor and working poor folks.
Oh, yeah,
schools.
They have.
And then 5 years later, when those schools aren't doing as well as the Walmart's friends test, like at the Pearsons, suggest that they be doing, then Walmart gets to sort of bid for the school. This is a disturbing kind of trend. But if you get involved in that, you'll have to learn about the finance industry. You'll have to learn about the real estate hustle. And so no matter where you are, I mean this with all due respect to the large struggles as well, if you fight for your piece of justice for your neighbors and for you in a way that looks at the bigger picture so that it will help liberate others. You win over there, it'll give us a model. You lose over there, you can help us win next time. You'll tell us what their strengths and weaknesses are, but we have to fight.
Wow, that's great.
That's very, very true.
You are getting a lot done with the BQ Brew.
I wish we were doing more, but again, our goal is sustainability. We're not trying to outscale anybody. We're not trying to, like, something.
Well, you've got an honest attempt out there, and you're making an honest effort, and what more can anybody ask for, or what can people demand? I mean, that's pretty noble on its own.
I respect that, and I thank you for it. And what I'm hoping for, honestly, is somebody or many folks will come around and be like, we can do much deeper analysis. We can do much better reporting and much longer, and we can do much more for showing deep issues to folks who have a very complicated or a busy life, only have so much time to read the news. I want somebody to say, we can beat you at your model, because you know what that would be? That'd be another two or three outlets that stand up for the middle and working class, and I hope they do it better than us, because it'd be great. That's how evolution works. That's our scientific growth on the left. That's why we don't worship personalities, which we shouldn't. That's why we hope to build from the bottom. You know, we are trying to scientifically, not ideologically, but with goals and hypotheses and procedures and then observations about how well this worked. And using, you know, we have to have a scientific, pragmatic, and then we ponder and then act again kind of approach. That's elementally, I think, what makes us either leftist or some kind of progressive that's different from the progressive of even 100 years ago.
It's not just about
progress, but it's about all of us being a little bit less miserable and a little more free.
Yeah, very good point, very good point. See, Manny, are you familiar with Free Speech TV?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's a great, I just discovered it. It for some reason, it was unavailable to me here in Minneapolis. But all of a sudden, I discovered it while channel surfing the other day, and it is phenomenal. It's completely viewer-supported. It's they provide a wide range of topics. Tom Hartman's got a show on there. Amy Goodman's featured on there. All kinds of important people on the left are on there. It's a wonderful, wonderful network, and I can't wait to see more of it. And, you know, it's an alternative to what we were discussing earlier about the crap that's on mainstream TV.
I wonder if folks would consider something further. If the businesses are willing to sponsor the kind of media that keeps the businesses whooping our asses, why don't we sponsor that kind of media that would help us whoop some of the one percenters' asses?
There you go, a labor channel.
It seems to work for them, you know?
Yep.
The numbers, you were saying, Jack, before, numbers matter. And the larger the numbers, the better we can do. Well, I bet we can pull together some economic numbers, too. Maybe hold out on some of these folks, you know? But it's there. You know, I am very aware of systemic trappings where folks don't have that much money to spend. This is why we have to build that solidarity. I bet you a lot of middle-class folks would spend on a lot of subscriptions to help other folks read a good paper or would do a lot of work to help that get that information out there.
Well, you're talking about networking, which is what we're trying to do with this show and our blogs and everything else, and we're all little tiny components of a big, big, bigger aim, and we've just got to keep on going. It's all we can do.
And if we ever think we can't get along with each other because of some theoretical stuff, I strongly recommend, in my very limited experience, we focus together on some practical stuff. I think folks' experience, they should explore this internally and analyze this historically as well. I apologize if I feel like I'm, you know, not to you folks, but I've heard a lot of bitter words on the left, man. And you folks kind of know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's foolish.
Personally.
Manny,
you know, you can't keep moving forward if you're punching a guy right next to you in the face. You got to keep moving forward together.
You know, Manny, actually, there's been a little experiencing of that with some of the folks we all talk together on the internet and on Facebook with, and there's been a schism there, you know, and it's like, why can't you're absolutely
they
right.
They got to heal it.
Try to as best you can, but there's also you really sometimes it's not possible because it's, you know, there's just too great a difference between people's there's
move
no
on problem. To something that you can agree with.
Right, if you can.
Yeah, if you can,
if you can. And always reach for the cooperation, the goal-oriented cooperation.
The mutual respect and the understanding and the listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's key.
Well, in a very serious sense, if we can't get along with sort of the person in the movement, what we should focus on is the goals. Again, I say like, Marx used to call it praxis or, you know, just like, practice and then think about it is a good way to think about it, you know. And if we set goals, then, you know, I don't know if you've ever had the kind of like frenemy or kind of sat next to somebody at work or class or whatever, who everything you say, even if they agree with you, they're going to tell you why they agree with you more but differently and for a better reason.
Sure.
Well, fundamentally, if you need to carry, you know, a pitcher of water across the classroom with this guy, if you need to do a task with him, what you need to focus on is the importance of the goal, and perhaps by carrying it over and planning and executing together, you will understand why you had varying goals. Perhaps execute it. And the next time we have to do something together, but it is in the practice. So I don't think some person, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff that gets said that's very hurtful I've seen online.
It can be,
I wish that sort of energy, that traction had been taken not just to the picket line, but on spending day after day after her asking a councilman to change this stop and frisk law or that law that allows, you know, vigilante violence or this law that allows predatory banking. I wish I had seen, 10% of that energy and willingness to spend emotion, plus mm-hmm. intellect on a project.
Right.
The chief difference is, and I apologize again, I mean no judgmentally, we have to get skin in the game. Because until
right.
we get those scars and learn where our muscles are and where
mm-hmm.
our weakest muscles are, and where our friends can be good, and where we are not so good ourselves,
mm-hmm.
until we do it with goals, so that we're not
mm-hmm.
judging each other, we're just trying to get a thing done together.
Right.
And until we do that with goals, we're not going to learn. We got to practice. We got to have goals, and even if we fail at those goals, in attempting, in building towards those goals, we will know how better to do building and organizing and tolerating and learning from each other next time.
You've made a great number of very important points on this show, Manny, and I want to thank you for being with us. It's you've given us a lot of food for thought, and we need to go out and act.
Well, I appreciate that. You folks are very, very much on sort of the cutting edge of getting the message out there, and I really appreciate the grassroots effort you have. So anytime you have me on, I'm honored, and I hope my little two cents contributed to the conversation.
Oh,
yeah, we're honored by your presence.
Absolutely. We've run over, actually, but people will hear it in archive the end of this. You bring a lot to listen to, and really, it's a powerful conversation about goal-oriented community and unity and cooperation too. It's very important, and I really thank you for being our guest today and expounding on all of this, because it's valuable stuff. Folks.
Yeah. Thank you, Gwen, for having everybody, too.
People
mm-hmm.
listen to this, Manny, and it changes minds. So we really appreciate you. And thank you for coming on. And I want you to give folks your call letters. Please let people know where to find you.
Well, if they're looking for me on Twitter, I'm M. Jalonski, M-J-A-L-O-N-S-C-H-I. You can check out our humble little artisan journalism paper, our little alternative paper, the BQ Brew, at bqbrew.com. That's BQBREW.com. I do write an occasional column for Politicus. And outside of that, I'm kind of a Twitter junkie. So I'm always on there constantly if you want to keep up. Hopefully right now... I'm just beginning. Hopefully in about 2 years I'll have done the second book.
Great.
Wonderful. And a lot of people don't know that you wrote The Twilight Empire.
Yeah, I wrote Hustlers in the 80th Swarm under a pseudonym, Reverend Manny and The Twilight Empire, because, well, you've seen how the Empire is doing, and you know what? I'm an atheist. So if they can call themselves a political movement, I can call myself a goddamn reverend.
There you go. Well, Manny, thank you very much. I'm going to bid adieu to everybody and hope that everybody will keep thinking forward and acting forward, and we'll all meet our goals individually and together eventually if we keep that up.
Thank you,
Solidarity.
Jack.
Yep, thank you, Gwen. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye now.
Thank you for being with us. And I want to remind everybody that this show, the Sunday show, is sponsored by Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com. And I guess that's it. We are out. In fact, everybody's left me. I'm the only one here. So please go over and take a look at Roundtree7.com. Also, we are part of the CommonsProjectNetwork.com, where you can find a lot of wonderful blogs and shows posted, including The Authority Smashers, Pinko the Bear, AWOP Radio, Lee Camp, Dennis Traynor Jr., all the Roundtree 7 information, and Here Be Monsters. All our shows are over there, too, so... please go on over and check it out. And the underwriter of it all is DaughtersOfIsis.com. Go on over and check out the fragrant memories of our ancestors. That's it for this Sunday. I want to thank Manny Jalonsky, and Jack Jodell for being with me today. I'm Gwen Berry, and this has been The Sunday Show.